To Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. The picture up there represents an open mind. Okay. Praise God. The Bible says, well, not the Bible, but there's a saying, the mind's a terrible thing to waste. Amen. You know, in our text today in Acts chapter 8, we find that Stephen's just been martyred. There's havoc going on to the body of Christ and to the church. There's persecution arising. People are being arrested. Saul's going a little ballistic. And at the time of this trouble and this in Jerusalem, Philip went to Samaria and began to preach. You know, and the Lord was speaking to my heart about in the midst of trial, in the midst of tribulation, is the time to preach. You know, so many times when things happen, we get into the spirit of slumber and quietness, but that's just the time when God opened up a new door. So we're going to start reading today in Acts chapter 8. Verse number 5 says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. I would like to focus your attention today for today's message to verse number 6 in the first verse, or first sentence, that says, and the people with one accord gave heed. You know, when I looked up that word gave heed, it came from the Greek word proseko. It's spelled P-R-O-S-E-C-H-O. Proseko, and that means to give attention, to give application, and to give adherence. So it means they not only gave attentive ears, but they applied it, and then they adhered to it. So the title of this morning's message is The Facts, Not Fiction. And when I was looking at this, I was looking at Luke chapter 9, 62, where the word of God says, if any man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. And when I looked at that word fit, that word comes from the Greek word eurotos. It's spelled E-U-R-E-T-O-S, eurotos. And that word means appropriate or made well. So today I'm going to use a little acrostic with words, being fit for the kingdom of God. And our points today, the first point will be facts and truth, being fit for the kingdom of God. Facts and teachableness, amen, being fit for the kingdom of God. And facts and trust. So can we lift our word together and ask God's blessing upon the preaching and teaching of the word. Now, if you understand, I want to share something with you as I break the word down and teach the word. It's so that we can have understanding, so that we can walk and put this word to life in our hearts and lives. Amen? You know, that when they gave heed, you know, they had attention, they had an attentive ear. They took not only listened to it, but they applied it. And then they adhered to what they applied. So as we lift the word and we speak the word today, that's when it has its full effect. Amen? Because the word won't have a full effect if we just hear it. Well, there has to be some application in our hearts and lives. And as we apply it, then it adheres to us, and we adhere to it. In other words, we stick to it. Then we have stick-to-itiveness. Is that a good word? Stick-to-itiveness? Amen? I don't know if it's a word or not, but it is today. Amen? So can we lift the word together in the house and make a declaration? I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have what God's word says I can have. I can be everything God's word says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. So, Lord, I pray now, Father God, that you speak to me to this congregation today, Father God. May the words come forth that from this mouth come from you. May they be spoken from your word. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory, the honor, and the praise. Father, if there's anyone here that does not know you, may this be the day of their salvation. If there's anyone here today that have drifted from you, may this be the day of the return. And for the entire body of believers, may we be edified, exhorted, and comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. When all is said and done, you'll receive the glory and the honor and the praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're a toast, being fit for the kingdom of God. Facts in truth. So we're going to start with some facts and truth. Just the facts, okay? Turn with me in Mark chapter 10. Mark 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" That's a good question, isn't it? And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You know, Jesus said, "Hey, you know, if you want to follow me," he saw where this man's heart was. He saw where this man's treasure was. Because wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And God saw that thing that was between him and Jesus, that thing that was going to be interfering. God says to us in Matthew 6, you cannot serve God and mammon, or you cannot serve God in this world, because you'll love the one and hate the other, or you'll despise the one and cling to the other. And so when God is speaking his word, well, Jesus is looking at that man because he saw where his treasure was. That's where his heart will be also. In my heart there. Amen. You know that's what the Lord is saying to me. See, this man, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Man is a sinner and one more. Man is a sinner and heaven is free. God is love. Christ died for you and me. If by faith you receive, you will live eternally. See, that's facts and truth. See, Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Turn with me to John chapter 8. Facts and truth. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Amen? In other words, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's facts in truth. Amen? So Jesus wasn't saying, hey, it's just not about saying a one-time sinner's prayer and everything's okay. No, he says, if you continue in my word, and my word abides in you. See, the word becomes our life. It's a fact of truth. There is no error in God's word. It's all fact. Amen? Amen? And if you want to build a case for anything, you can build a winning case for everything through God's word. Because it's all facts. And it's all truth. You know, when I was looking at that in Acts chapter 17, verse number 11, the word of God says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Amen? So in other words, this speaks about having open-mindedness to God's word. In other words, when we look at that word, when they gave heed to the word, to the prosecco, they gave attention, but they also gave application. In other words, when you hear the word, you should have a notepad and a pencil. You should write it down and you should go home. You shouldn't say, hey, this is what the pastor said. You should go home and research the word. The Bible says they searched it daily to see if those things that were said were true. And if we're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to make us free, if our freedom is determined upon truth, then it's important that we get into the truth. Amen? That as we're reading, that we're asking the Lord to open the eyes of our understanding so that we may understand. Because sometimes we just read. But God wants you to understand the truth. Amen? And that's where freedom comes. That's where total freedom comes. It comes by knowing the truth. Amen? Amen? So as we're gathered together as students of the Bible, we're gathered together here to learn the truth, to know the truth, to speak the truth. Amen? See, you can't speak what you don't know. And you can't know what you don't study. You know, if you're going to take a test, what do? You study. You know, if you're going to school and you've got midterms, what are you doing? You're studying. Why? You're studying so you can do what? So you can pass the test. Every day you're going to be tested. And if you study, you'll be ready for the test and you'll pass it. And if you pass the test, you don't have to take it again. What happens in school when you fail a test? Most time you flunk, you got to take it again. Sometimes God allows things to come in our hearts and lives to test us. When we pass the test, we don't have to take that one again. Amen? So our lives are built on the facts in truth. Being fit for the kingdom of God. Being eurytos. Amen? Being appropriate. Being made well by God's word. Man? Amen? And then when the adversary comes and brings lies and deception, all of a sudden you say, wait, whoa, that doesn't align with God's word. See, because a lot of times the adversary is going to come in and he's going to sound just like it. It's going to be close, but it's not the real thing. It's twisted a little bit. Amen? So we find that when they gave heed, they gave attention. They not only gave attention, they gave application. They were one accord. They were in agreement. They were coming together, man. Saying, hey, you know what? If we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, amen, we got to come into some unity. We got to come into some agreement, amen. We not only have to pay attention to the word, but we got to apply it. There's some application that needs to take place in our hearts and lives. So secondly, fact in teaching, and that's supposed to be facts in truth, facts in teachableness, and facts in trust are the three. So you might write that down. Facts in truth, facts and teachableness. See how quick that changes? Look at the Holy Spirit work. Man. He's quick and he's powerful. Amen? So the second one I want to talk to you about is facts in teachableness. Being teachable. Amen? In other words, it takes humility and submission to be in a place of, where'd my buddy go? Be in a place of teachableness. So turn with me in Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Verse number 3 says, Jesus speaking, he said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you know what? Children are teachable. They're moldable. You know, the older you get, the harder it is to teach you something. Right. Because we become really stubborn. Amen. We come to that place that all of a sudden we know everything. Yeah. Has anybody been there beside me? I remember as a young man, I've said it before. I remember that day I woke up as a young teenager, man, I knew everything. Amen. Daddy, you can't tell me anything. You know how we can be teachable as we get older? We got to keep an open mind. You know, we got to be open and receptive to the teaching and preaching of God's word, because God's just teaching us so that we can be successful. Amen? He wants us to live victorious lives. Amen? We're to walk as winners in this world. Amen? We're to walk in this world when everybody else is troubled and by troubles, even in a time of trouble, that we walk in peace because we know that who we serve, and he's the Prince of Peace. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. And if I'm walking in the Lord and I'm walking in the Spirit of God, I'm walking in peace no matter what comes my way. I'm walking in perfect peace that surmounts every bit of understanding. So as you and I, as children of God, as we get God's word in us, I was visiting a good friend. She's a part of our ministry. She lives in Charlottesville. She's been sowing to our ministry for over six years. And I was visiting her with her yesterday and had a great time with a great woman of God. She's a prayer warrior. She prays for this ministry every day. She prays for me every day. Amen. Amen. And I covered her prayers and I appreciate her prayers. Amen. And when we're looking at the peace of God that surmounts every bit of understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds, and as these things unturn and turn in our world and things come upside down, it's time for the church to arise. Amen. Remember, we're in this world. We're not of this world. Amen. You know, you can call me crazy. You can call me silly. I just believe every word that God said. When I walk in the hospital room, they say this person's dead. I don't believe them unless God says they're dead. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I'm not moved by sight. I'm moved by faith. I'm moved by what God says and what the Spirit of God says. And as this nation and this world is going to come in a time of turmoil and unrest, you and I as the house of God, we've got to be prepared and ready. Amen? We got to be ready because we got to be ready to share the love of Jesus. These guys were persecuted. Stephen was just martyred and killed. And what did they do? They went to preach some Jesus. Amen? Jesus is still everywhere. He's still in the White House. He's still in the courthouse. He's still in the schoolhouse. He's still in your house. He's still in this house. He's in every house. Amen? So don't let the world convince you that God isn't there. Because all of a sudden you're believing what the world says and not what God says. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm as close as the call of my name. He's the same yesterday. We just sang it. Today and forever. He changes not. Amen. So you know what? If I walk into the hospital, guess who's there? Jesus is there. Wherever you go, wherever your feet tread, declare it for the kingdom of God. Amen. You know, we ought to be taking back some things instead of running from the adversary. God didn't give us any armor on our tail. It's all in the front. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You know, we were talking this morning, you know, there was that comet that came by Japan. That thing was traveling like 33,000 miles an hour. I mean, it was fast. And as we, just when I was sitting here praying this morning, the Lord took me to Luke 10:18, where it said, I beheld Satan like lightning fall from heaven. When Jesus kicked him out, he traveled about 33,000 miles an hour. Hey, he's a defeated foe. Come on now. He's a defeated foe. We need to stop giving him room. You know, here's Philip. Philip is just in Acts 5, he was just appointed to wait on tables. Okay? So Philip isn't an apostle, a preacher, a pastor, evangelist. Philip's just a man of God that's going out to share the gospel, like each and every one of us. You know, and the Word of God says in Acts chapter 8, verse number 26, it says, an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, under the way they go up down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge over all the treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Then the place of the scripture was read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, And like a dumb lamb, like a lamb dumb before the shearer, he opened not his mouth. And all of a sudden, Philip jumped off of that scripture in Isaiah and preached Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus Christ, crucified. Jesus Christ, buried. Jesus Christ, risen from the grave. He took the opportunity to share the gospel and enlighten him and what the prophet was speaking about. And all of a sudden, this Ethiopian eunuch was baptized. Amen? He was converted. But that Ethiopian eunuch had a teachable spirit. He said, well, how can I unless somebody guides me? And here's the problem that we face today. When we don't understand, we keep it to ourselves. You know, if you're in a Bible study and you're gathered together in the congregation and you don't understand something, raise your hand. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking questions. That's why we're here. And if you have questions during a service like this, write them down. Hallelujah. Wave the flag. Jesus, you kicked my socks off. Praise God. In other words, this Ethiopian eunuch had a teachable spirit. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. The Bible says that it came to pass that as he was praying a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And what did he do? He taught them how to pray. When you pray, say this, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He says, and this would, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See, as having a teachable spirit, he's teaching him and teaching you and I how to pray. Amen? Well, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. We'll just say, Our Father, which art in heaven, you're holy. Hallowed be thy name. Lord, I want your kingdom to come here today as it is in heaven. In other words, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Lord, and what does the Lord say? If you have unforgiveness for anybody, forgive them first. Amen? Forgive me my debts as I forgive those that have trespassed against me. Amen? Amen? So many times we're asking for forgiveness, but we don't have a forgiving heart. See, Jesus was teaching his disciples, and his disciples were teachable. They were like sponges. And when I was looking at this and I was seeking the word, the Lord was speaking to me about something. If you turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse number 24. He said, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. In other words, what we need to do is we need to teach others what we've been taught. Amen? And if you're versed in the Word of God and you're not sharing it with someone, shame on you. There's a lot of people that need to grow. There's a lot of people that need help. Amen? And we're here to help one another grow. Praise God. So as we're learned, the more when we learn, we share with others what we've learned. And we become from students to teachers. Amen? God wants us to graduate. God wants to promote us. God doesn't want us to stay in kindergarten. He doesn't want us to stay in elementary school. He doesn't want us to stay in middle school. He doesn't want us to stay in high school. He doesn't want us to stay in college. He wants us to take, learn, and then take it out to the world. Amen? We're always learning and we're growing in God's Word. Amen? You know, I've said it before. I'm not the man that God wants me to be, but I'm not the man I used to be. Amen? Thank God for the journey. Amen? Amen? And that's where you have to be. You have to be in your life. Hey, man, I'm here right now, but this is not where I'm staying. I'm moving forward. Man, I love that song. What a moment he has brought me to. Such freedom I have found in you. You're the reason you make all things new. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Can we get some yeah in the house? Yeah. Oh. Yeah, and amen. I say yeah. Hallelujah. You see, being fit for the kingdom of God, they were facts and truth. To know the truth's going to make you free. Facts and teachableness, just having an open mind. Open-mindedness. Amen? Just be willing, be like a sponge. Soak up everything you can get. Amen? Because when there's a dry season and you're squeezed, some life-giving water will flow out. Amen? Amen? Instead of just some dust. Amen? You know, and then he said, and then being fit for the kingdom of God, the third thing he spoke to my heart about was facts and trust. So turn with me to Matthew 13. I wish I had one of those, you know, when the Lord's giving me this time message, I wish I had one of them, like the one of them like Holy Ghost shouting things. But he's the Alpha to the Omega, and he's everything in between. And sometimes as we're learning and we're growing in God's Word, we have to take the Word and dine a little bit. Amen? In Matthew 13, verse number 23, Jesus is speaking about the soils and the seed. He said, "But he that received the seed on the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And we always talk about hearing and understanding, but he said also there, "and he that beareth fruit." In other words, the fruit, that what we're talking about was the prosecco that gave heed. They gave attention to the word, they applied the word, and they adhered to the word. And when they did that, there was a production of fruit in their lives. Amen? And so many times people look at this and look for it as offerings and so forth, but I believe the fruit is in your life. You're producing fruits of the Spirit coming out of your life. If out of your belly flows rivers of living water, then the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, some gentleness, being meekness, temperance, faith. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but it's in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Holy Ghost joy, nobody can steal from you. If your joy is from the outside, from the inside and not from the outside, the only thing the world can steal from you is things that please you on the outside. He can't steal what's deposited on the inside. Amen? Amen? I think we ought to have some Holy Ghost joy in the house. We should be producing some fruit. Those fruits of the Spirit should be evident, flowing. out of our hearts and our lives. See, God's just challenging us in His Word. Amen? We're not only to hear the Word, we're to apply the Word, but we're all of a sudden to be the Word. And all of a sudden, we become the Word. You know, when the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, when we renew our mind with the Word, our mind becomes the Word, and the Word becomes our mind. We become the Word. Jesus says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Amen? The Word was there, and the Word is here, and the world gets inside of here. And no one can take that from you. Let me say this. There is going to come a time in our nation. You don't think that just because the Bible isn't allowed in schools, there's going to come a time when the Bible most likely won't be allowed in here either. Hello? The closer we get to the end of time, you think the adversary is going to let us carry this Bible? That's why the psalmist says, I meditate on your word. I got it inside of me. If they take the Bible from me, they can't take the word from me because the word's in me. And if we're not getting the word in us, where are we going to get our life from if we don't have the word? No one can steal what you understand and what's inside of you. Let me tell you something. As a mom and dad, can anybody steal the love you have for your children? Does your love change because they didn't do what you wanted them to do? This world cannot steal what's inside of you. That's why God wants this word inside of us so much. Amen? Hey, I'm a word of faith man. Come on. Come on. You're a word of faith people. And if faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, our faith is increasing every time we gather together. Why do you think the devil doesn't want you in the house of God? Why do you think that every Sunday morning something comes up? Something always happens to try to keep you from God's house. Every time you go to read the Word of God, something comes up. The devil don't want you getting this inside of you. Because if you get it inside of you and understand it, he can't take it from you. See, he's come to steal, to kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and the abundance thereof. The adversary can only take from us what we allow him to take. You know, when we're shod with the preparation of the gospel, we're standing firm on God's word. We're keeping our ground. We're not losing anything that we've accomplished and done. The adversary is always kind of trying to drag you back, drag you back, drag you back, drag you back. And God says, I just hear his little voice, and his spirit says, come on, child, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Look at me, 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 look at me. Not look at Carl, look at him. You look at Carl, you get all messed up. Amen? Amen? I'm not the man, I'm just the vessel. He's the man. Amen? We're just vessels for the kingdom of God. And any good thing comes from him. Hallelujah? Praise God. You know, being fit. Facts and truth. Facts and teachableness. Facts and truth. Hallelujah. You know, and on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the Word of God says, and they that gladly what? And they that gladly received the Word. They that gladly received the Word were baptized. They that gladly received. In other words, they had to be receptive. There had to be a trust. There has to be a believing. You know, if we can't believe God at his word will never have an effect. It'll never have an effect in our lives. It'll never have an effect in the lives of others if we don't believe. It says, and they gladly received the word. You know, Peter's there speaking, and all of a sudden they recognize it not as Peter speaking. They recognize it as God speaking through Peter. And they gladly received the word and were baptized. They were immersed in Christ Jesus. Amen. Because they positioned themselves by being teachable and by trusting in the Lord. Matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, Paul says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Hallelujah. In other words, are you receiving this today as the word of Carl? Are you receiving it as the word of God? See, you can't look at it as the word of Carl. You got to see it as the word of God. And when you recognize it as the word of God, it can have an effect in your life. Then it effectually works. Amen. And then it goes to work in your hearts and lives. And then you'll find that the attention and the application and the adherence to the word will all of a sudden start bearing fruit in your life. Amen. Amen. And no matter where you're at, whether you're new, medium, or longtime Christian, we're ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. I don't know about you, but every time I look in God's word, God shows me something else I didn't know. Amen. And there's not a time that I open up the word that I don't see something else I didn't know. I've read the same scriptures over and over and over and over again, and I get a new facet of them each time. Amen? It's life-giving, guys. It's life-giving. And if this is a life-giving, why do you think it's so much that the adversary wants this thing just sitting on the shelf? We spoke about it a little bit on Wednesday. This year, if you're a book reader, most people will read 10 books this year. I don't mind the books. Books are all good. Amen. Thank God for knowledge and wisdom and all the educators that are out there. Thank God for all of it. It all works together. But the book. The book. The book. The book. The book. And you know what? You know what it takes? It takes effort. Good things come to them that... In other words, if you think it's just going to be easy even to study God's word, it isn't easy. When there's an adversary that wants to destroy your life and he sees you studying God's word, he's going to do everything to discourage you from being in God's word. All of a sudden, something happens. You'll be serving the Lord, everything will be going good, and calamity will come, and all of a sudden, you'll start saying, "Well, I don't even know if he's God. How God loved me do this?" Recognizing who your adversary is. It isn't God that brings that junk on you. Amen? God isn't sitting up there saying, "Okay, let me see how I can mess with Clay today. Shoot, he went to church. I'm going to bug him." God isn't like that. But the adversary saw that you came to church today. And the adversary will try to do everything he can to discourage you because he doesn't want you in the house of God. He doesn't want you in the word. He doesn't want you in prayer. He wants you to walk around like feeling like you're a winning soul, but being lost. Amen? Because life is here. Amen? He's the giver of life, and he gave us the source. Amen? It's that word of God. You know, I love that scripture where it says it's quick and powerful. It's active and alive. Amen? You know, I've come into situations in life, and I go into different situations where it looks like there's no hope and that it's gloom and doom, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit turns things around. Amen? Amen? God changes some things. Amen? He turns some things around. So in closing today in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8, the Word of God says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." What is God saying to you and I today? Hey, this is fact, not fiction. God spoke to you today about the facts and truth. Facts about having a teachable spirit, and facts in trusting the Lord. One of the greatest facts of all is this: for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.